Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker, keeping an eye on what's going on with housing, right, Don?
Yeah. It was inevitable that with these soaring housing prices that they would eventually start to come down. Capital markets and real estate markets are consistently changing, as we know. Well, I talked to a successful 35-year-plus real estate professional in Austin who is an agent broker as well as an investor, and she recently lamented to me about how much Austin real estate, Austin, Texas, is dropping in value. Her property alone has dipped 19%. She says that's true in other formerly hot markets like Florida and Arizona as well. In reaction to the dips, housing starts have plummeted to five-year lows. In May, construction of new homes fell nearly 10% as builders pull back amid waning demand. They're not going to put in more homes into a market if they anticipate weaker sales. Now, some parts of the country, like the Northeast, have big housing shortages. Many builders want to build more, but they're experiencing labor shortages, rising input costs, land, and prohibitive regulatory hurdles. New multifamily housing starts have dipped more than 5% on a three-month moving average since the end of last year. The boom in multifamily housing that came online in 2024 and early 2025 has brought down rents into the Sun Belt and to mountain states. However, that's being quickly occupied, so those rents may be going back up. If you follow the markets, big ticket purchase decisions like vehicles and homes are on the front line of decelerating consumer spending. They're often the first sectors hit when the economy slows. High levels of uncertainty are goosing that weakness. Builders with new inventory on the market have reported price cuts and significant sales incentives like mortgage rate buy downs. And of course, every market is going to be different. So it may be slightly different here than it is in some of those bigger cities. But if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Saber Wealth. The number is 316-267-0600.
Okay. So according to some people's research, Wichita is the second most boring city in the U.S. What do you say to that?
I disagree with that. They don't know what they're doing. They probably looked at some algorithm from something. Come on, man. I was listening to you earlier when you were talking about this, and they were saying about there's no culinary. Come on. I could name 10 restaurants in 2 seconds that have amazing chefs, amazing food. The Wagon Masters Downtown Chili Cook-Off attracts 10,000 people. The Wichita River Fest is a 9-day event that fills the streets. Did you see those concert pictures with the drone pictures of how many people there? Come on, give me a break. That's baloney.
That's the kind of things that we do that other cities don't do. They might do one festival a year. We do about 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, there's so many things that go on. Music Theater, Wichita, just. The concerts that go on Friday nights. I mean, come on. That's baloney.
That's baloney.
But you know what? That's okay. Keep it quiet so we can have it to ourselves.
Too quiet. We want to share this with anybody, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, I had lunch. I didn't have lunch with Jen Ray at the Monarch, but my wife and my grandson Nolan and I last week did have lunch at the Monarch, and Jen came over and said hello to us, so.
The food there is amazing. I think Jen came up with most of those recipes, but that's not just bar food. That's good stuff.
No, we had an excellent sandwich in there. I had their baked potato or their potato salad, whatever they call it.
Right, the hot.
Really good.
Okay. Today is National Day of Rock and Roll, an unofficial national day to champion the pioneers that helped change the norms and redirect the history of music. I don't know why it's today. It doesn't say. The genre reflected the joy of an emerging youth culture and inspired both black and white artists. Rock and roll music evolved from the beats and lines of about 6 other popular music genres, according to this script that I'm reading to you. I don't know how accurate it is. What's the first rock and roll song you can remember?
I do remember getting a 45 when I was a kid. The Stones' and at one side was Ruby Tuesday.
Really?
And I remember playing that over and over and over and over. I'll stop there.
Okay. My first one I can remember, Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and the Comets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that, they say that's the first rock and roll really widely known one that I know of.
Yeah, there was a lot going on then. Well, oh, yeah. but when well, I when Elvis I came into along, the world, yeah. that was considered oldies.
Yeah, that was oldies.
Now oldies is the stuff that
played last
I like.
Week.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Don. Did you have a good fourth, by the way?
Yeah, good. It was good. It was good. We went to an event and watched some beautiful fireworks and had some good food and
can't beat that.
Good. Yes.
Right. On this date in 1908, the temperature in Salina fell to 46 degrees to set a record low temperature for that city in the month of July. 46
in July.
1908. And it was on this date in 1785 that the Continental Congress established the dollar as the official currency of the United States. 1785. I suppose they were using the pound before that.
Yeah, probably.
All right. The dollar's been around a long time. Hey, Kentucky, talking about dollars here this morning, a Kentucky woman used the numbers from inside a fortune cookie to play the lottery, ended up winning $50,000. Lexington resident Kathy Bailey told Kentucky lottery officials she copied the numbers off the back of the fortune inside her daughter's cookie and used them to buy a Powerball ticket. And place a $5 wager on the Golden Snake Triple Play game on the lottery's instant play page. Bailey said her winnings will help her plan for the future. In other words, she didn't have any idea what she's going to do with it. Maybe just buy, 50,000 more lottery tickets. Something like that. All right.
I wonder what the message on that cookie was.
Yeah.
You will suddenly come into money. Your lucky numbers are.
Yeah, you will be coming into a great fortune soon. Ooh, wow. That's pretty good. By the way, Ted's getting a day off this morning. Ted Woodward is not with us this morning, but he's in good shape. He's doing well, I'm sure. After last week, you guys had the whole thing last week. You guys do all right, Ted? You and Jad? Jad, you and Ted?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Everything went fine.
I'm sure. It runs pretty smooth, doesn't it?
Well, we try.
Firefighters called to a stretch of interstate in Pennsylvania after a crash involving three tractor trailers resulted in mozzarella cheese being spilled across a 200-yard area. Firefighters arrived on the scene, determined that one of the trucks had been hauling dozens of shredded mozzarella cheese and was split wide open with the debris all over the roadway. Pennsylvania Department of Transportation had the area of the road shut down for cleanup operations. I'm sure it took a while.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese, shredded cheese, it would be quite a mess. The head of the Catholic Church is taking a summer break to relax.
Pope Leo XIV saying he's taking a, quote, brief period of rest and will spend the next 6 weeks at the Papal Palace in the hilltop town of Castel Gandolfo, about 15 miles southeast of Rome. The late Pope Francis stayed away from that summer retreat during his 12-year pontificate. Pope Urban VIII built the Papal Palace in Castel Gandolfo in 1624 to give popes an escape from Rome. It's been enlarged several times and now stands at 136 acres. Pope Leo has been going nonstop since his election on May 8th.